I will just tell you, those of you who take notes, and those of you who usually turn in your Bibles, I won't be necessarily reading directly from Scripture today. So if you're taking notes, just put down the reference, because I will be talking about it. There will be some that I read, but for the most part, I'm just referencing it today. So Father, I pray that you will bless this time. We've given you worship. We've prepared our hearts. Now may you speak to us directly into those hearts. May the soil be ready to receive the seeds that you have for us today. Amen and amen. The title of this message is, When is Then? When is then? In the Bible, we have lots of places where it says then and it says now. But we have to remember, what does that mean? Well, to build a foundation, in Exodus chapter 33, it begins with God being angry with the people. They're not following what he's wanting them to do. And he actually declares to Moses that he's not going to go any further with the Israelites. He's actually says, I'm going to kill them all. And I'm just going to keep you, Moses, and your wife, so that we can start over again. Moses ends up interceding with God and for the people of Israel, because he basically says, God, you've chosen these people, and if all of a sudden you destroy them, then those back in Egypt will say that you just delivered them so that you could kill them. And God changed his mind. Says it straight in Scripture. It says that he changed his mind and he said, nope, I'm not going to kill them. And in Exodus 33, verse 11, it actually says that Moses spoke to God face to face. The Hebrew word for it is el panay, and it means directly, face to face, just like you are looking at me and looking into my eyes, and I'm looking into yours. That is face to face. That's how Moses spoke to God. Okay? Now, the theme for this year is I see the Lord. And there's a lot of people in churches today that don't see the Lord. And the way that they say it is that, well, it says in Exodus chapter 33, later on, after it says that Moses spoke to God face to face, it says that no one can see the face of God and live. So Moses is speaking to God face to face, and then later on, he's told, I'm going to pass by you, but you can only see my backside because you cannot see my face, because no one can see the face of God and live. That's harsh, because Moses already has seen his face. But he was living. So what happens? Well, Exodus 33, 18 to 23, it does say again, no one can see the face of God and live. They can only see the backside of his glory. That's what the word says there when he says, you will only see my back. It actually says, you will only see my backside of my glory. So then the question is, what is the face? What is that face that Moses couldn't see, even though he could see God face to face? It's confusing, I know. I went through this many, many years ago when this has always been my favorite story, because Moses sees the glory of God, but he only sees it from the backside. He sees the glory pass by him. So throughout this message, you are going to find out what that actually is that Moses couldn't see. But later on then, from this story, after Moses sees that backside of the glory, in Exodus 34 to 35, it says, then when Moses was with God, he had to be veiled. even after he saw the backside of the glory of God, he had to be veiled. But even after this instance, he still spoke to God face to face. Even though it says, no one can see the face of God's glory. That's what should be there. Just so it alleviates some confusion, even though it's still confusing. Take note that even under the old covenant, the glory of God was present. The glory of God was there. The Bible even says the old covenant was good. It was good. The problem wasn't with the covenant. The problem was with the people asked to follow the covenant. And it's not just because they were the Israelites. It's because they were people, which we are as well. I can guarantee you, if we would have been back there in the same situation, we probably would have done the exact same thing that is the people of Israel did, even though we would like to say we don't. Anyhow, in Exodus chapter 19, so now we're going back in time a little bit. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 9, God lays out a plan for the people of Israel, saying, why don't you come up here towards the mountain and stand before me, and I will speak to you face to face. That's what he says to the people of Israel. And then Exodus 20 happens, which is the Ten Commandments. And all of a sudden at the end of that, there's thunders and lightnings and boomings and frightenings and all these different things that are going on. And the people are so scared that they say to Moses in Exodus chapter 20, verse 19. So this is, God has just asked the people to come up to the mountain. And they said, okay. And then God speaks, and they say all of a sudden, 20 verses later, they say, Moses, you go and speak to God, and then tell us what he says. Because we cannot handle this. We are too scared. We are afraid of him. Now, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it's the beginning of knowledge. And the people of Israel had the fear of the Lord, but they made it the end, not the beginning. Because you can still be scared of what God can do to you and learn from him at the same time. But what ends up happening? Now, I don't know what your week is like in regards to how much you study the word, how much you spend time with the Lord. But there are a lot of people in churches today that are exactly like the Israelites. They say, Pastor Corey, you go and speak to God and come back and tell us what he says to you. Instead, God wants to meet with you individually, face to face. And you know what? Personally, I'm thankful that you come here to hear from me and what God has said to me. Because this is my job. But at the same time, if that's all you are doing, then you're not fulfilling what God wants you to do. He wants you to learn from the Word. God's plan for you is to hear from Him. God's plan for you is to allow the fear of the Lord to be the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. So now we are going to turn to the New Testament for a little while. Actually, probably the rest of it, but we'll see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, known as the love chapter, because it does talk about love quite a lot. But towards the end, in verse 12, it says this, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, But then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. I want to read that again because it's so profound and we need to spend a lot of time on this. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. So this word dimly is where I want to focus for a moment. This word dimly comes from the Greek word that we get enigma from. That's E-M-I-G-M-A. Enigma. And an enigma is mysterious. It's puzzling. It's difficult to understand. And another word that can be used there is it is veiled. So this whole thing, now we see in a mirror enigma. We see this enigma. We see this thing in the mirror that's mysterious. It's puzzling. It's difficult to understand. And it is veiled. It says, now we see in this mirror veiled, but then we see it face to face. So the question I have for you is, when is then? When is then? A lot of people will tell you that we won't see God face to face until we see him in the glory land after death. But I am here to tell you that then is now. Then is now. Bear with me. So here we are, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12 says what? It says, now we see in a mirror veiled, but then we will see him face to face. So, is it possible, just asking, that the now that Paul was talking about was the now that Paul was in? Because Paul was writing in those days, right? So he was saying, now we see dimly. We see with a veiled face, but then we are going to see face to face, right? That's what it says. I see you looking at the screen, so that must tell me that it's there. Our projector in the back is not working, so I can't tell. Now we see dimly. I am pointing, I'm driving this home for you because you really need to understand this. Now we see dimly. That's Paul saying now. He's not saying to you in 2025 that this is now. He's saying it for him back then in the first century AD. But, you just have to turn your pages. Let me see how far it is. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 pages I had to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 to 18. And I want to focus for you on verse 18 right now. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, he just said in 1 Corinthians 13, 12, now we have veiled face. Now, 4 pages later, he says, now we are unveiled. We are faces unveiled. Unveiled, beholding as in a mirror. Wait a second. In 1 Corinthians 13, 12, he said, we are veiled looking in the mirror. Now, he's saying, we are looking in this mirror and we have an unveiled face. What is Paul saying? He's saying then is now. He's saying then is now. I want you to, let's read this. And you need to notice the comparisons of the old covenant to the new covenant in this passage. I'm going to start in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We read the whole chapter. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need as some letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, which is referring to the Old Covenant, but on tablets of human hearts, referring to the New Covenant. Such confidence we have through God, through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, the old covenant, but of the Spirit, the new covenant. For the letter, the old covenant, kills, but the Spirit, the new covenant, gives life. But if the ministry of death, the old covenant, in letters engraved on stones, came with glory. The old covenant came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was. Now I want to tell you that fading as it was is not the glory that was fading. It was the old covenant that was fading. The old covenant was about to be done. It was only temporal. It wasn't forever. Because God had a plan. He said, in those days, I will make a new covenant with you, which is not like the old covenant I made with the fathers. That's in Jeremiah chapter 31. It says it's not like that old covenant. It's like the new covenant. The old covenant had glory. And then verse 8, so if the ministry of death had glory, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation, the old covenant, has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness, the new covenant, abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory, in this case, has no glory. What had glory, the old covenant, has no glory. Because of the glory of the new covenant, it surpasses it. So this glory of the new covenant surpasses the old covenant. For if that which fades away was with glory, that's the old covenant fading away, it had glory, much more that which remains, the new covenant, has much more glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Some of you might think that we are too bold up here. But guess what? The reason we are bold is because of the new covenant. Because of what we see. Because then is now. And we are not like Moses. We should repeat that thousands and thousands of times per day. We are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away, the backside. The backside. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. It's not because of me. It's not because of you. It's not because of all of those who came before us except one, Christ. That's why the veil is lifted. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, I can tell you, we can read the Old Covenant. We can read the books of Moses. But look at it with Christ's eyes. Look at it in the view of the New Covenant, not the Old Covenant. Look at it that we are created to be, not created to do. So when it comes to the Ten Commandments, it's kind of funny because I just got a text yesterday from a dear friend, which said the Ten Commandments are still in existence today, but it's not that we have to follow them and do them. It's because we are them. I am not going to serve other gods. I am not going to make idols. I am not going to be a murderer because I am not a murderer. I am not an adulterer. I am not a coveter. It's not that I have to follow these things. It's that I can't follow those things because I am not those things. That's what it is. Nope, that's getting ahead of myself. So when we see this and how it's written, we know that the old covenant is Paul's now. Now we see in the mirror dimly, veiled. That was back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But then all of a sudden something happened to him. It's a few years later, but something happened to him and he realized, no, my face is not veiled anymore. Now I look into this mirror with unveiled face. Do you think that Paul might have known what he wrote before to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13? And that now he was disputing what he wrote back then? How many of you know that we change? How many of you know that our beliefs change? And I can tell you, if you look back 10 years and your beliefs have not changed, you need to get more in the Word. Because the Word will transform you. It'll change you. And it's not that you really need to be changed, it's that you come to a realization of who you are in Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that he was veiled. Now he is seeing himself as unveiled in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, or there is freedom. So let me ask you a question. Where is the Spirit? What was that? In us. So guess what? Say it again. Say it loud. We're free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So guess what? I have freedom because the Spirit of the Lord is in me. Paul says, under the Spirit, all things are good. All things are permissible. But not all things are, what's the word, Terrell? Beneficial. Thank you. Not all things benefit us. But there's freedom. That's a tough thing to preach to people who are stuck with an old covenant mind. And if you are thinking that that's a tough message saying that all of us are free to do whatever we want, then guess what? You're stuck under the old covenant. The problem is, those people who do whatever they want and they sin are not actually under the new covenant when they're doing it continually. This is a tough thing. Because in our natural minds, we think that's impossible. And you're right. Because without the God, it is impossible. But if you truly follow God and truly follow the Spirit in absolutely everything, guess what? You ain't going to do it anyway. Why? Because that's who you are. But did you know that those of those people who think liberal-mindedness every once in a while have a thought conservatively? And those who are conservative in their mindset every once in a while have a liberal mind? So does it not happen that those of you who live for God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength every once in a while live in the world? But Pastor Corey, you're supposed to preach that we're supposed to be perfect. You are in Christ. But when you're out of Christ, you ain't. It's logic. Continually be in Christ and you are perfect. Take a step out of that perfectness and you are imperfect. I feel like I'm preaching again. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let us now read it fully. But we all, that includes you this time, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So Moses only saw the backside, but we're actually seeing the face of the glory of the Lord. And we, it says in this one, and you see it up there, it says, are being transformed. Now, that is difficult because that means that we are thinking that this is a continual process. But what it actually means, because this is in the imperfect present something, it's a Greek thing. But because of how it's actually written, this means that we are being. Not being transformed, but we are being. We are to be. We are who we are. And who we are is transformed. You see what I'm saying? You're not being changed. You are changed, but you exist in the changed being. Did that make sense to you? So, I am Corey Rosenfeld. I cannot be Barry Kamenecki. I am created Corey Rosenfeld. When you became in Christ, you were recreated, transformed. So you are transformed. You cannot not be transformed. You are, not are being. I am not transforming into Corey Rosenfeld because I was created Corey Rosenfeld. I am not being transformed because I am transformed. Make sense now? If not, talk to me later and I'll probably say the exact same thing. But, so we are existing transformed into the very image from glory to glory. Now, this has caused a lot of confusion in the church because people think that you have to go, let's say it's like a mountain and a valley and you have glory and you have glory. And you have to go through this valley in order to get to the other glory. It's from glory to glory. That's what people think. But that's not what read the context. He's saying that we are transformed, we are transformed into this image of Christ from the mindset of the old covenant, which had glory, to the mindset of the new covenant, which has glory, even more so than that one. You see what it's saying? It's not saying that there's positions of glory and glory and glory and glory and that's how we hop along our life. No. We are transformed from the old covenant to the new covenant when we come in Christ. And we see it with unveiled. The act of being transformed is not the process of being transformed. We exist transformed. We already are. God's work is complete. But what we need to do is what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says.
says that we need to allow our minds to be renewed to this transformation. We need to see in the mirror what we've been transformed into and actually know it and be it. So when is then? Then is now. So how do we know this? Well, it's up to you. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says we exist transformed. And this existing of transformed is the word metamorpho, which we get metamorphosis from, which comes is that caterpillar going into a butterfly. Metamorpho is also the word used to describe Jesus being transfigured or transformed. That's found in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2. And metamorpho is also the word used for us to be transformed in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, by the renewing of our minds. So if you don't feel that you are this transformed image, you need to renew your mind. That's what you need to do. So what are we transformed from, and to what are we transformed into? Well, it's the old covenant thinking to the new covenant thinking, as we've already talked about. It's work-based to faith-based. And I can tell you there's still a lot of work-based thinking out there. In fact, every single one of us still has it in us. Did you know you don't lose your salvation just because you miss church? Exactly. Back in my growing up days, you don't lose your salvation just because you went to a dance, or you went to the movies, or you went to the bar, or you had a drink. Do you see what I'm saying here? You are transformed. Now, if you go out with the purpose of getting drunk, then there's things to talk about. If you go to the movies instead of church, or instead of fellowship, or instead of growing, and you make it into a habit that it ends up replacing your belief system with what is believed in the theater, then we have a problem. But if you're reading books that are taking you away from the Word, that is actually taking you away from the learning of the Word, and you can read those books, but if that ends up being your Bible, then we have a problem. But if you just stay at home instead of coming to church and allow that to be your church, then you're not doing what Paul says when he says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Some people, that's all they can do. That's not who I'm talking about. When you have the opportunity, gather with saints. And it doesn't have to be your home church. I preached this message 4 weeks ago. How many of you remember? Other than Mike, because he watched it online. I preached this in Edmonton at a church that wasn't mine. It wasn't my home church, but I still preached this message. Why? Because God told me to, and he told me when I was preaching it that I was going to be preaching it here too. Of course, I modified it because he told me to. There's glory with the old covenant is what I'm saying, but the Israelites missed it. Moses had to cover his face because of the glory of the old covenant. But the new covenant has more glory, but guess what? We don't need the veil anymore. We see dimly because of the veil of the old covenant. Then every one of us still has some aspects of that. But then we need to look into the Word and become transformed and remove that veil. And when we remove the veil and look into the new covenant, we exist as transformed. So how do we do this? Terrell, that's your cue. Turn the volume up.
How many do you see?
There are four fingers, aren't there?
No. Look at me. You're focusing on the problem. If you focus on the problem, you can't see the solution. Never focus on the problem. Look at me. How many do you see? Look beyond the fingers. How many do you see?
Eight. 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 Yes, yes. Eight's a good answer. Yes. See what no one else sees. See what everyone else chooses not to see. Out of fear, conformity, laziness. See the whole world anew each day.
For those of you who recognize that, that's Patch Adams' movie back in, well, a while back. Look beyond. Arthur says to Patch, he says, see what everyone else chooses not to see. That means you can look in here and find something that others don't. And then he says that they choose to not see, whether it's out of fear or whether it's out of conformity because everyone else is doing it or because of just plain laziness. Those are tough words from a secular film. But it says to look beyond. So how do we become transformed? We look beyond. Demonstration time. Everyone, hold up four fingers and look this way. How many do you see? Now look at me. How many do you see? Don't look at the fingers. Look at me. But have the fingers in front of you. But you know what's really fun about this? Thank you. So if it worked for you, sometimes it doesn't work. If it worked for you, you saw more fingers than just four. Why? I could go into the whole biology of it, but we'll let Gordon do that. It's because our eyes, this eye is seeing something different than this eye. My brain is what puts the two things together. How you demonstrate that is you put fingers in front of you. So if I do this and look at my hand, I can't see Murray. But if I look at Murray, all of a sudden my hand becomes clear. And I actually see him through my hand. Because my eyes are seeing two different things. That's the basics. For the details, Gordon. We look beyond the physical into the spiritual. How is it possible that when I was reading the scriptures, which I've read so many times before in 1 Corinthians 13, and I see this thing that says we see it dimly into the mirror, and then all of a sudden my brain says, wait a second, there's another mirror in the Word. It's the same mirror. And all of a sudden it's like 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And then the one we're veiled, and the other one we're unveiled. Because Paul went through a transformation himself in between the two. It's not that he took only the 5 minutes that it takes you to read from one to the other and wrote that. No, it was time. Time with the Father, time with the Spirit that all of a sudden unveiled and revealed this stuff to him. So we look into the mirror, the Bible. We see the face of Christ. One page over, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. I turned too soon. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, which is what you see in the mirror when you have an unveiled face. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sakes. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Why couldn't Moses see the face? Because it was under the new covenant and he was under the old covenant. The new covenant is the face of Christ. He couldn't see that under the old covenant because under the old covenant that means he would die. But we can see the face of Christ. I see the Lord because we see Christ. We see him face to face. But we will only see it when we remove our veil. We all have that. But instead of looking at the veil, look beyond the veil and then remove it. 1 John 3:2 says, when he appears in the mirror, we will see him as he is, and we will be like him. It doesn't say the mirror in that. I added that. It says, when he appears, we will see him as he is, and we will be like him. But we've just read that when we see him, we are him. When he is unveiled to us, that is what we exist as, because the mirror don't lie. When I look in the mirror, you can't fix ugly. I'm not saying I'm ugly, but you know what I'm saying. You can't fix what you see because the mirror won't lie. Yes, you can move a hair here to here. You can cover it up. But the mirror don't lie. And so when you see yourself in that mirror, when you see Christ in that mirror and it says we are transformed into that image, we are seeing ourselves. Then the mirror don't lie. The God of this world will blanket ourselves. And he will say, that ain't true. That's not who you are. But the Bible says I am. The Bible says when he appears in that mirror, we will see him and be like him. And it goes even further in 1 John chapter 4, 17. It says, as he is, so are we. Where? In this world. You are like Christ. The idea is to purposefully look beyond. The idea is to believe that then is now. You know what? I choose to believe and see differently. I choose to see it differently. I choose to look into the Word and say, okay, God, show me something different. Don't show me what I was taught 20 years ago. Show me what you want to say now. Paul did it. 1 Corinthians 13, 2 Corinthians 3. He said, Lord, show me something different. And God said, you ain't veiled no longer. I choose to see differently, not out of spite or regret. I don't regret anything from my past that taught me differently. That was a stepping stone, but I have chosen that I will not stay where I once was, but I want to be what he wants me to be today so that I can be what I will be next year, even though next year will be different than this year. I want to change continually. And it's out of desire to let the fear of the Lord be the beginning and not the end. I choose the unveiled face. I choose to see face to face, not dimly or veiled. And I know that you already do too. You just might not know it. But guess what? I want you to see your place in church history. At the beginning of the 1900s, there was a surge in the emphasis on the Holy Spirit. In the 20s to 40s, there was an emphasis on healings. The 50s to 70s, there was an emphasis on prosperity. This is in the whole church world. In the 80s and 90s, there was emphasis on the favor of God. In the 2000s to the 2010s, there was emphasis on the grace gospel. Right now, there's a big emphasis in the church worldwide on our identity as sons of God. All along the way, and we could be included in some of this, there are some that see it and some that can't or won't. So what's the next step for us? What opportunities are going to come up that we have to change to either see beyond or to get stuck on the four? I want to let you in on something. Even here in Manning, Alberta, at Family Worship Center in 2025, it's happening. You might not even be aware of it. I listen to conversations. I listen to those who stand behind this pulpit, including the women on Father's Day and the men on Mother's Day. I listened last year when we were doing life verses. You are seeing beyond. You might not recognize it in yourself. But when you look in the Word with the purpose of finding something, God will show it to you. Why? Because He says, seek and you will find. So I absolutely do not like the fact that we stopped Life Verses. But people stopped saying, I want to share with others what I learned. I would love to start it again, but I haven't heard from anyone else saying, hey, we need to start that again. Probably because they know that the first question is to say, okay, when do you want to do it? Don't be scared. It shows your pastor that we're doing things here. It's amazing to me. All of us as a whole are on a deeper trend or a beyonder trend. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 says, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Every one of your versions has some version of that. The depths of God or deeper things in God. It is so amazing to see when you look back with spiritual eyes and notice where we once were and where we are now. And just imagine if we keep on that trend where we're going to be in the future. Now we see dimly, but then face to face. Now with unveiled face, we see the glory of God face to face with Jesus. And we exist transformed to that very image because as He is, so are we in this world. When is then? Then is now. And with that, I want to close with a song. If Jen could play it, I would get her up there, but I know she doesn't know it. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all the obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that kept me blind. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. It works. It works. Secular movies, secular songs, the gospel of God in a relevant way. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, that we can look back from this day and see where we once were, but we know that we aren't there anymore. We are now here, in the here and now, in the present. And God, I thank you that we can also look forward and see that we are going to be beyond where we are right now. And God, may we never be afraid of that. May we allow the fear of the Lord to be the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. May it never be the end. And I pray for each one here that they will all of a sudden have a desire, a great desire to seek more, even if it's one word more. May it be, Lord. May we always be on a growing trend. And may you be praised forever and ever. Amen and amen.